Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Squawker Talker podcast. And with another weekend of Premier League action just around the corner, there is only one place to focus. Manchester United head to North London to face Tottenham in what normally would be a fairly innocuous Premier League encounter. But we all know manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is on the brink at Old Trafford. And this weekend, depending on the result, could be the Norwegians' final act as United boss. Following on from that disastrous weekend defeat to Liverpool last time out, Ole's time at United does look to be running out very, very fast. However, we must say that at the time of recording, nothing has been confirmed. We do expect Solskjaer to be in charge this weekend, but on today's show, we are taking a deep dive into the next steps for United if Ole heads for the door. Yes, and we will be asking the question, who should be the next manager of Manchester United? Yes, who is going to take over from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Right, so let's get into it. As always, my name is Fergal Brennan, and joining me today, we have two United fans with plenty to get off their chests. We have Rob Blanchett from the Manchester United fan podcast, The Masterclass. Rob, how are you doing?
I'm great, Fergal. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm looking forward to this as a bit of a neutral, and I know you guys have plenty to say on this. Alongside Rob, we also have James Young from the Stretford Paddock podcast. James, how are you doing?
I'm not exactly looking forward to the Spurs game, I must say. But hopefully, it can't get any worse than Liverpool, can it? So that's something positive, maybe, to look at.
I think those could potentially be famous last words, James, but we hope not. We hope that it's not as toxic as it was last weekend against Liverpool. Rob, we're going to start in terms of Ole's situation, because obviously there's so much speculation that he's got days, possibly weeks left in terms of his position at Old Trafford. But I want to timeline this in terms of the situation with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because when you go back to when he started and he came in, there was such a negativity surrounding Manchester United. The final days of Jose Mourinho, United fans were fed up. They wanted him out. They wanted him gone. And Solskjaer came in, obviously huge connection with the club, synonymous with the success in 1999, scoring the winning goal in the Champions League final. And the early to medium signs were all very positive. United started to win games. They started to become a force in the top four again. And the tail of the tape, when you look at just the numbers in terms of what Solskjaer has done, it is relatively positive. Sixth, third and second in terms of Premier League finishes. Runners-up in the Europa League last season, obviously fell at the final hurdle in terms of winning it. There is a lot of positives surrounding that, but the numbers don't necessarily back up the story. Forget about Ollie being at the wheel, where have the wheels come off for Ollie?
Well, I think the wheels came off in the summer transfer market. So United made their choices, added three premium players, Varane, Sancho and Ronaldo. And it was felt that that was a big enough gift to Ole to take the team to the next level. And as we're seeing, that the ignorance of not adding a central midfielder has really hurt Manchester United. So I think it's one of those things that fans will always have their own opinions about what really United should do in the transfer market and what Ole should do with his tactics. But you can see that whatever they've done in terms of additions now in this last summer, it's not taking the team forward. If anything, it's taking the team backwards.
And when you look at the situation, Rob, in terms of relationships with fans, we go back to earlier on this summer with the situation with the European Super League. There was protests at Old Trafford, fans getting inside the ground, and there was this massive swell in terms of anger towards the European Super League that United would essentially betray the fans to become involved in it, X, Y, and Z. The Glazer family, the Manchester United ownership, move in the summer, bringing these players, splash the cash, back Ole, etc. So we talk about breaking down of relationships in these situations. You can kind of see how the fans have broken down in their relationship with the ownership directly with Solskjaer. Where is the fan disappointment or the fan irritation or anger with Solskjaer directly, because this is not a one-size-fits-all. There's still a lot of fans that are in favour of Ollie, obviously his record at the club and his relationship with the club. What specifically has turned fans away from believing that Solskjaer is moving United in the right direction?
Well, I think certainly when you gauge social media, you see that there's plenty of people who are Ollie in and Ollie out. That's always been there. It's been there since day one. It's still there today. I think the big difference now is that Ollie is losing the moderates. You know, the fans that kind of have given him time. I'm certainly one of them. I would say that, you know, over the period of his tenure, I've said that he needs time. They need investment in the transfer market. They need to find a way to improve the squad. I think they have improved the squad over the last 2 or 3 years. I think the recruitment's been pretty good. But unfortunately, what we've not seen is a kind of improvement in the tactics and maybe the variation of formations that United can play. We're at a stage now, I think, in year three, where we're at a similar kind of point of where we were with Mourinho. So when Mourinho kind of lost the plot at United and the toxicity came through and it was really the end for him and it was very obvious that it was the end. It's feeling a little bit like that now with Ole. It's easy to jump down the Liverpool route. Liverpool obviously beating United 5-0 at Old Trafford. You know, I think James just saying there, can it get any worse? Well, unfortunately, yeah, it can. You know, you're just about to run into Harry Kane and Son, and there's a whole load of good teams to run into in the next few weeks. So I think that, you know, the fans are not baying for blood, but I think you're going to get to the stage that if results continue as they are and performances continue as they are, he'll simply lose all the backing that he has in the fan base.
Looking at another potential relationship breakdown, James, and that's between Solskjaer and the players. This has been widely reported, particularly in the wake of the Liverpool defeat, that there's certain players, certain senior players that have lost faith in what Solskjaer is trying to do, and potentially even directly with him as a manager, they've lost faith, they've lost respect. Obviously, a lot of this is going to get built up in terms of being very clickbaity and very gossipy. But do you think there is an issue in that sense between Solskjaer and the players, that certain players or the majority of players may not necessarily have an issue with Solskjaer personally or with him as a manager, but the situation that they find themselves in now, that they have lost faith in his ability to turn it round and get United back on track?
I think so, because it's quite clear that he's just not getting the best out of them. I mean, the performance against Liverpool, if the players are on his side, they don't play like that. Do you know what I mean? That performance against Liverpool wasn't good enough. It was clear that the players, compared to Liverpool, were just running at United and just making it so hard for United to play against them. They just didn't seem to have that fight, that extra 5-10% in terms of wanting to win the game. Clearly something's wrong there, and that's kind of been the tale of the season so far for United. They've got results. I mean, Villarreal and Atalanta in the Champions League, those were great games to watch. But realistically, should that have happened in the first place if the players were on Solskjaer's side and if they were playing for him? Probably not. I mean, United got lucky. Start of the season, they played two teams in Leeds and Newcastle who played into their hands very well. Leeds under Bielsa played perfectly for Solskjaer just to hit them on the counter-attack like he has done pretty much every time United have played Leeds. And Newcastle are probably one of the weakest sides in the Premier League. They might go down this season. So those two games aside this season, you know, it's been clear that the players just haven't been playing to their full capabilities. And like Rob was saying, I think the excuses are starting to wear a bit thin now. I mean, before you could say, okay, well, he doesn't have the squad depth, or these aren't his players, and that was sort of understandable. And he was doing a very good job. I mean, you know, finished second, which is the best achievement post-Ferguson that Mourinho's done as well. Joint highest finish, and as well, I mean, he got United into the Champions League. He's done a lot of good things right at United, and I think it's important that we look at that as well, because he's done a really good job when it comes to taking United back to that sort of in-between spot of finishing the top four and competing for the title. But I'm just unsure as to whether he's going to be the person that's going to take them to compete for titles, because it seems at the minute that I just can't see it improving. That's the really sad thing, because ultimately after that Liverpool result, I mean, I don't understand how United recover from that. You know, we've got Spurs, City. Those aren't going to be easy games. I don't think it can get worse than Liverpool, because losing 5-0 at home to Liverpool like that is rock bottom for me. You can't get worse than that. It may be losing to City 8 or 9-0, but the way you perform against Liverpool, you've got to have that hunger and you've got to have that desire as a Manchester United player. And the players didn't show that at all last week.
Rob, when you look at the situation with Solskjaer in terms of how his legacy or how his reputation at United will be seen in the next few months and the next few years, assuming that he is relieved of his position. And there does seem to be this little bit of a trade-off, because when you look at his record in the post-Ferguson era, he's got a better win percentage than David Moyes. He's got a better win percentage than Louis van Gaal. And he's only just below Jose Mourinho in terms of win percentage as Manchester United boss. But both of them have this holy grail of a trophy. Van Gaal winning the FA Cup and Mourinho winning the League Cup and the Europa League. But as James said, in terms of league progression, Solskjaer has actually made them more of a threat to Manchester City and to Liverpool without probably really putting together a consistent title bid. But in terms of the league, they're more of a force than they were under Mourinho and Van Gaal based on where Solskjaer has finished. So is that what this all comes down to? Is he just a victim of the fact that in a final against Villarreal at the back end of last season, or in other maybe domestic cup competitions, if he just put his foot on the gas a bit more and just got that monkey off his back, just one trophy, any trophy, we wouldn't be having this conversation? Or do you think this is just an inevitable road that we had to go down? If Solskjaer had won the Europa League, would he be in danger of the sack because he wouldn't be able to be thrown at him that he hadn't won a trophy?
I think if United won the Europa League at the end of last season, this would still be happening. Exactly what we're seeing today. You know, we're talking about here about players, effort, how does it work? You know, the Liverpool result, why did it happen? I think when we dig down into the metrics and we really look at it, this is a tactical issue. So this comes down to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's ability to manage and to coach and to translate his ideas and communicate to his players. You know, I was at the Liverpool game, I've been at every game this season, and I don't get the feeling that the players are not trying, that there isn't a desire to win. But it's the same issues that we really saw last season. So even when United were coming second and certainly results improved, they went on that big long run away from home of not being beaten for, was it 29 games or so? They're all kind of good markers. You know, it's a tick in a box. But the issues we saw last season are still present today. And if anything, they're more accentuated. Certainly with the change in personnel, bringing in Ronaldo, bringing in Varane, who's, you know, has played quite well himself, and then Jadon Sancho, who's been basically a ghost at the football club. We've not even seen him. So for me, this is about the manager and about how he can impact and change things. He's got a really, really good squad. He should be doing better with this squad. And ultimately, the buck has always got to stop with the coach. So the players might not be cutting it. They might not be putting in the performances. But Manchester United cannot rely on individual talent. And that's what they've been doing for a very long time. We've been waiting to see maybe a tactical evolution from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and I've been patient and I've waited for that. But I think you've seen in the 13 games this season, that's not coming. And that's why I say it can get worse, because I think if you turn up against Spurs, you let Man City turn up against you and they all beat you, and you lose to Atalanta away from home, that feeling of toxicity that we all felt at Old Trafford against Liverpool, it can only get worse.
Before we move on to some of the candidates that are possibly, probably going to replace him, I just want to quickly wrap up on Solskjaer in terms of his position at United. James, obviously there's these three massive games coming up, Spurs in the Premier League, Atalanta in the Champions League, and then the derby against Manchester City next weekend. United have essentially hinted that it's too busy, too important of a week to have a major upheaval. We fully expect Solskjaer to be in position across those three games. Rob said this before, it can get worse. It can get much worse in terms of performances and results and the situation that Solskjaer will find himself in. How much longer has he got? I know obviously we can't look into the crystal ball of what's going to happen in these games, but let's say, for example, he gets a positive-ish return from these games. How much longer does he have on the clock?
I mean, when I said I don't think it could get any worse, I meant more in terms of performances rather than United's league position, because it's obvious. I mean, you know, even though United are doing okay at the minute in the Champions League, if they lose to Atalanta, then again, like last year, the pressure's going to start mounting again. And really, again, the excuse last season was United have got a tough Champions League group, PSG, Leipzig, okay. And it was typical that Solskjaer lost to Istanbul Basaksehir out of those two teams that actually cost him going through into the knockout stages. And this time around, Atalanta, Villarreal, Young Boys, three teams United should be beating and should be finishing top of that group. And if they don't get out of the Champions League group stage, then that's a failure on his behalf, because the issue is, especially, I mean, I was at the Villarreal game in Gdansk. I was at the home Champions League game the other week, and it was the same problems. Villarreal sat back, they just defended, hit United on the counter-attack, and the difference was there, United had Ronaldo that could win the game in the last minute. But ultimately, the same issues persisted in the sense that Solskjaer, when he's managing his team, he needs to be able to find a way to break down teams, because teams that have taken points at Old Trafford this season, the likes of Everton, you know, the likes of Villa, teams that United should be beating, it's just happening too regularly at the minute. And hopefully he can turn it around. But like you're saying, I mean, Atalanta are a good team as well. United did beat them earlier on in the group stage, and that was a good performance in the second half. But again, the same issues that were from the Atalanta game happened in the Liverpool game. So I don't know what's going to happen with Solskjaer, but I can't see him sticking around for much longer. I feel like he's on borrowed time, to be honest, because like you were saying earlier, Rob, you know, towards the end of the Mourinho era, he was winning games still. He was getting results against Young Boys in the Champions League. He was beating Newcastle 3-2. But these are similar sort of things. United came back from 2-0 down against a side that they shouldn't have been 2-0 down against. United beat teams sort of scrappily and just about got there. And ultimately, Mourinho was put out of his misery in December. Now, is Solskjaer going to get that far? I don't know, because the games that are coming up, Atalanta, City, Spurs, if he doesn't get anything out of those games, I think he's gone.
I think he's got three games. So I said a couple of games ago that he had five games off the back of this, and I included Atalanta and Liverpool with that. But I think these next three games, if you do not win these next three games, he will not have a job. So that will be as simple as that. I think United are open to replacing him. I think that they have probably lost a bit of confidence in the project now. They've given him a huge amount of money in terms of transfers, 410 million during his tenure. It's a lot of cash. And when you're given Cristiano Ronaldo, you have to win. You don't get a choice about maybe you draw and you might have a fight back here and there. You've got to start winning matches. And what's happened? He's got Ronaldo, he's got Sancho, he's got Varane, and he started to lose more games than he's winning. So I think that this is going to be a relatively short death. You know, I think three games, he'll be given that time as a grace period to try and sort it out, to show that maybe he's got the players back on track. But to tell you the truth, the issues are so deep, I can only really see three defeats in that. Maybe a draw at Atalanta. You know, Atalanta had five players out for the Champions League game that United won recently. You're running into a good Man City team and a Tottenham team that's starting to play a little bit of football. It's going to be a really, really tough period.
Do you think it's because they don't want an interim manager in for those games against City and Spurs especially? Because if they sack him now and bring someone in like a Carrick or a McKenna, you know, the results probably are going to be reasonably similar, I think.
I think the issue of bringing in a kind of Carrick or a McKenna is that they're already there. They're already picking the team. So Manchester United is kind of picked by committee with Solskjaer leading it. And there's several of them that kind of do all the work, do the coaching. They work together, sit in the office, and they pick the team with the sports science guys. So that's how it works. That's the system of the club. I think if you say that Solskjaer's going and you're going to get the coaches to carry on running it, nothing changes. So I don't think United were prepared to sack the manager after 12 or 13 games. They didn't believe that results would be this bad, that performances would be this poor. But of course, there are people on the market. There's good coaches out there. You do have options. Getting rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer because he signed a new contract is not really too much of a problem. You just have to pay him off, which is just exactly like
breaking news. And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Like you did with Jose Mourinho.
Right, so let's move on to some of the names that could potentially replace him. Now, before we started recording, we had a big long list of potential candidates and who could and who might be interested in the job. And reality has hit because there's one strong favourite who's leading the pack as it stands. But we're going to keep that one just in the pocket for a moment because as it stands, we know who the likely realistic possible choice is. Obviously, these things are always subject to change. So before we get into that, we're going to have a bit of fun and look for your ideal candidate. So, James, I'm going to throw this over to you first. I say we're going to keep it a little bit of a hidden secret for a moment who we think is going to take over. But if you're in a position of power at Manchester United, based on the squad at your disposal, based on the fact that United have still got enormous appeal in terms of going out and getting a manager, who would you like to see take over from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
I mean, it's not going to happen, so it's almost not worth having this discussion, but I'd really like Luis Enrique at United because of the style of football that he plays, because of how well he did at Barcelona, because I think he'd get on with a lot of players in United's dressing room, but ultimately, I can't see that because I don't know why he would come, but if I had to choose anyone at the minute, I'd go for him.
I just want to ask, Rob, before we move across to you, James, Enrique is someone that, when you look on the bookies list in terms of where he is, he's a fair way down. I agree. I'm a big fan of Enrique. I thought it was great to see him back with Spain in Euro 2020 and seeing Spain back as a force. But I do find it interesting, these situations of potential managers that could take over. What do you think Enrique would give United that they need? Because at the moment, one of the issues that Solskjaer is falling down on is there seems to be things that he just can't do, either coaching, either man management, etc. What do you think it is that someone like Enrique would address at Manchester United that Solskjaer isn't?
I think he's a better coach. I mean, ironically, when Solskjaer first took over at United, one of the first things that he did was to get them one of the fastest teams in the league when it came to running and pressing. But United have gone backwards on that. And I think Enrique would almost go back to doing that, because if you look at the Spain side at Euro 2020, he did a great job taking them to the semi-final. Pedri, especially, in players like that, that he really got the best out of in that team. He did really well with a good young crop of players, and Spain were really lethal on the counter-attack. And, you know, United have got players like Greenwood, Ronaldo, Rashford. If he can get them playing like the way he did his Spain squad, which I know is hypothetically because they had a much better midfield than United do, then he'd be a great manager for United. And I think he'd be a fit with the players that they have, obviously. He's managed De Gea before. You know, in January, he might be able to bring in a couple of other players, but I can't see it happening because I don't know why he'd come with it. I think the job is not too risky, but I think United will go for someone else, more like a Conte or a Zidane, which I think is more realistic at the minute.
Rob, obviously looking at the picture, Enrique could potentially be a wildcard shout, as James said, given his contract situation with Spain is very unlikely. But it is an interesting point, this idea that United do have some of the most exciting young players in European football. Mason Greenwood, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, to name just a few. They're just the players in attacking positions. Who would be your wildcard shout? Enrique, as James said, would be an option to revive and to utilise these young players that are in the Manchester United squad. Who would you go for if you had the magic button to press?
I think if you were looking for a long-term project and you were looking at someone who could come in and maybe build the football club, you could talk in terms of maybe a Pochettino or a Ten Hag. I think they're kind of obvious ones when you're mentioning squad building or club building towards a long-term success model. But I think the coach that United need at present, and I've thought about this a lot, obviously, for my job, and talked a lot about new coaches and potential names, undoubtedly for me, is Antonio Conte. The reason why I say Conte is that I think you do need a coach to come to Manchester United who knows what the Premier League is all about. So that was why I would maybe be hesitant about, you just said there, Luis Enrique. He doesn't have that Premier League experience. He's a really good coach, but it can shock and awe you when you come to the Premier League. And also Ten Hag, obviously being at Ajax, is a completely different model in having a football club that's already got maybe 20 or 30 years of building itself around a certain model in Holland. It's a different kettle of fish to Manchester United. Manchester United are the Hollywood football club. You need to be able to know how to manage that. I just think with Conte, tactically, United are a mess. Manchester United need a tactician. They need someone who's going to come in, be able to play two or three different systems, but be able to coach these players into doing more. Because that's why I'm saying earlier on, I don't believe this is about effort. You know, I don't believe the United's players go out on the pitch and say we're not playing for our manager or we can't do it or any of that kind of stuff. I just think they need more acute tactics. They need to be coached in a more kind of pragmatic way. And we're not seeing that with Solskjaer. We know that he delegates a lot. And I think that that is hurting the football team as it stands.
Okay, so obviously looking at the picture now in terms of realistic candidates, Antonio Conte is the one in terms of the bookies, in terms of social media, in terms of leaks and you know, contacts within the club. We're all in a position now where we are operating with this idea that if Solskjaer is going to be sacked in the coming weeks, it is going to be Antonio Conte that takes over from him. So Rob, I'm going to throw this back over to you in terms of Conte, because People are going to be excited by Conte coming in. He brings with him a lot of personalities, huge energy on the touchline. He's fantastic in press conferences. And obviously, he's coming in with some level or some degree of guaranteed success. And I use that kind of tentatively, but he's been out of a job since leaving Inter Milan this summer, where he ended their decade-long wait to win a Serie A title. So he picked that up. He obviously won the Premier League during his time at Chelsea in between 2016 and 2018. So there is, and I'm kind of a bit scared to say guarantee of success, but we go back to what we said before about Solskjaer that gets beaten over the head that he hasn't won anything. He hasn't won anything. Conte generally wins at least one major trophy during his time at a club based on Chelsea and based on Inter, but he doesn't hang around. Two seasons at Chelsea, two seasons at Inter. Previously, when he was at Italy, it was two seasons, and then at Juventus, it was three. So generally, he doesn't stick around much longer than that. That's probably going to be the contract that he gets offered by Manchester United. First and foremost, is that a concern for you? Or, you know, we talked about Ten Hag before or relationships with clubs. Do Manchester United need that? Do they need someone committed for 4 or 5 years? Or do they need a short, sharp shock to the system of someone that comes in, is tactically adept and gets them playing in the way that they can?
Well, I think in the modern game, 5 years and above for managers to stay at football clubs is a very rare thing now. So I think if that's your starting point, it's very difficult because you really don't know what's going to happen over a project in that period. It's a long period of time. And the times of, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson staying, you know, decades, you know, these things don't happen anymore. They're not there. You know, you're not going to see Pep Guardiola or even Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool or City in 5 or 10 years' time. It's just not the case. I think with Conte, and, you know, you just said there about fans looking forward and maybe being excited by it, I think you generally will find that most Manchester United fans are maybe losing faith with Solskjaer, but Conte may be a step too far in the opposite direction in terms of the style of play. Now, for me, I'm not scared of that. You know, I think the whole thing about the United way can sometimes be a little bit based in mythology. And it's more important to look at the game in a tactical way. And that's what our podcast does, you know, with the Masterclass, we look at tactics. And it would be nice to have a coach that had all that armory in what he does and how he operates. So if he came with a 3-year contract, if he won trophies in that 3 years, would he be leaving? I think it's highly unlikely. You know, he left Inter Milan for good reason. He left Chelsea for good reason. There were two clubs that had dysfunctional ownerships and stuff that was going on at the time. And he fell out with them. And if I was him, I'd have walked away as well. But I think it's a good fit for what Manchester United need today. Will he be what United need in 5 years' time? I just think you can't call that now.
Okay, and looking at tactically, James, in terms of what Conte can bring, he has evolved and he has changed the way that he looked to play. At Chelsea, it was a relatively set 3-4-3, but with Inter last season, he reacted to the threat of other teams, and he crucially said quite a few times that they can't be playing with Juventus on their shoulder. They can't just be looking at what Juventus are doing and trying to replicate that. And there's an interesting comparison there with the Premier League, with Liverpool and Manchester City. Sometimes you get the sense with Solskjaer that he's trying to mirror what those two sides are doing, despite the fact that they might not have the right players in the right positions and that they might not also be conducive to the way that they want to play. So looking at Conte's team from Inter, generally speaking, in terms of most picked 11, it's a 3-5-2. Flexible 3-5-2, a back three, generally a deep line midfielder, which was Marcelo Brozovic, Eriksen and Barella either side, Hakimi and Perisic in a full-back, wing-back role, and two strikers. Now, this for me is the most interesting thing. If he does try to fully implement the bulk of what he did at Inter Milan with Manchester United, because he didn't deviate away from this idea of playing two strikers. He would fiddle around with his midfield setup, whether he played full-backs or wing-backs. But by and large, I'm just looking here, 95% of Serie A games last season, it was Romelu Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez. He's not afraid, as Rob said before, to say, this is where our strengths lie. This is how we're going to win games. And at the moment, United's strength is in their attack.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that because I remember a United pre-season where Van Gaal turned Ashley Young into sort of prime Roberto Carlos as a fullback, and then United lost the opening game of the season to Swansea playing a similar sort of style of football. So it can work. I'm not sure whether it's quite an adventurous thing to do that with United. And I think the interesting thing is with Conte, I mean, he leaves clubs in a state similar to Mourinho does. I mean, after he left Chelsea, it took them a while to get back to where they were under Tuchel, and I think that's the only concern that I have. I mean, ultimately, as long as United win things, and I think most people are sort of similar, I'm not really that bothered about how United played, to be honest with you. I mean, the issue was with Van Gaal, the football was boring and United only won one trophy, to be honest with you. And I think that was the main frustration with Van Gaal, because his football at times was so lethargic and just boring to watch. And to be fair to Solskjaer, you know, the results aren't great at the minute, but it's still entertaining. I mean, Atalanta, even though United were completely inept in the first half, it was still exciting to watch, seeing them come back from 2-0 down. And I think the issue is, with Conte especially, if the results aren't going that way, or if he struggles for the first couple of seasons, one, I don't think he'll get as much time as Solskjaer, because I don't think the fans will have that much patience in him because of the football that he plays. And two, he has to get results, because if he's playing that style of football and people aren't necessarily enjoying it, then there's not the excuse of, oh, well, I'm trying to play the right way. It's both of those things that are bad. So it'd be interesting, like you were saying though, about those two strikers. I mean, if you can get, I know it's very hypothetically this, but if you can get Cavani and Ronaldo playing up front together, then that would be incredible.
Looking at some of the systems, Rob, obviously we're kind of going to go back to front here and start with the front two. James has flagged up there Cavani and Ronaldo in terms of what would be the most natural or maybe the most likely to be picked by Conte. United do have massive options in terms of attacking systems and in terms of the way that they can set up. But the interesting thing is now you could have a manager playing with two strikers, with a bunch of players, with the exception of maybe Ronaldo and Cavani because they're older, that have never played senior football in a two. Marcus Rashford hasn't, Mason Greenwood hasn't. By and large, the midfield structure around them haven't operated in that sort of a system. Do you think this could be a case of players like that being let off the lead to say, actually, now we've got a system in place that will benefit you? Or do you think because they haven't played that way for so long, the adjustment period could create a bit of a problem?
It would be a big adjustment for this squad. You know, a squad that's had 4-2-3-1 hammered into them over and over again. That's Ole's system. Ole's talked about playing 4-3-3 a fair bit. This year, we've seen United transition from those two systems, 4-2-3-1 to 4-3-3 in games, and they've looked rubbish. So that's a big problem in terms of the system. I think if Conte came to United, you know, he played 3-4-3 for Chelsea, and he started off trying to play it with four at the back. It didn't work for the first few games. He switched it to 3-4-3, and they went on an incredible run of like 20 odd games where they just didn't lose a match. So I think that he would want to replicate that again. He would bring that back. As you said, in Italy, he plays a 3-5-2 system. I think that's more suited for Serie A. And I think that if he plays the 3-4-3 in England, it will be a case of trying to utilise two forwards with Bruno Fernandes. So Bruno Fernandes will be part of that three. There is no way Bruno Fernandes can play in an Antonio Conte midfield. It's impossible. So he's just not the right fit for how Conte plays. So I think these are the bigger questions. So, you know, you talked there about Ronaldo and Cavani. I'm a little bit sad about that because I don't really want to talk about two 36-year-olds at Man United up top. You know, this year should have been about how did Mason Greenwood get on? What are you going to do with Jadon Sancho? The evolution of Marcus Rashford, trying to find the players who are there for the immediacy, but also the future, and finding a way for them. And that's what I want to kind of see built over time. But yes, at the moment, we're in a bit of a pickle. I think that Ole's time has come to an end, and it's now trying to make all the pieces that you got fit into a new system that at least gets you into, say, the top four this year, because you're not competing for the title.
James, we're going to give you the positive and give Rob some of the negative in terms of Conte and what he'll look to bring from these United players. 3-4-3, 3-5-2. Generally speaking, we think it is going to be a version of a back three. How the midfield structure is built will depend on, as Rob said, what he thinks the rigours of the Premier League are in comparison to Serie A. So looking at the United squad as it stands, there is obviously players at the moment who are maybe not getting enough game time. There are players who are not performing to their level of ability. Given what Conte will look to implement tactically, what he'll look to implement in terms of personnel, who are going to be the big winners from and Antonio Conte, Manchester United, in terms of getting in the team and in terms of being key players for him at Old Trafford?
I think Fred actually might improve more under a Conte system because of the style that he plays. I mean, the issue is with United at the minute, obviously Fred's playing with McTominay in a two midfield, and the issue is they're too similar in terms of players. But under a Conte system, I think that changes slightly. I think he works better as a midfielder because he's got other players around him that will have to that do the other work for him. So I think he's sort of fighter, and he's those sort of players that are needed in a Conte system. Similar to, I mean, in the Chelsea teams when he won the league that season, that midfield was so just, you know, just winning tackles and winning the ball back, and the game was almost won in the midfield. So I think a player like Fred will do much better under a system under Conte. I think Varane will probably improve as well, especially in that defence. I think he's looked a bit shaky with Lindelof, and that's my only sort of concern maybe in a three. I think United's defence could be a bit of an issue, but then if there's an extra defender in there, maybe that'll help Lindelof out a bit more. But I'm not sure who's going to play alongside Lindelof, well, Maguire maybe, but even then, I mean, United's defence this season has been just as bad as their midfield, so I think Varane maybe will help the other two defenders if they're in a three, but I think Fred will be an interesting player under Conte.
Looking at the other side of the coin, Rob, not everyone can get in the team. Conte will look to put his stamp on it, look to put his take on what he thinks Manchester United should be doing, the direction that they should be moving on. James has flagged up Fred as someone who could potentially win out in all of this. Victor Lindelof will get an extra hand at the back in a back three if he keeps his place. Who is going to lose out if Antonio comes to Manchester United? Because he is going to look to change things in terms of mentality and tactically. And that means that there probably is going to be at least one or two players that are going to have their noses put out of joint.
I must admit, I don't think Victor Lindelof will play if you play three at the back. I don't think he's got the pace really to do it. He's got the ball playing skills, but I think that if he was setting up with a 3-4-3, you're trying to mimic obviously what Chelsea were doing in the sense of winning football matches, it's going to be Varane, Maguire plus one. So if it's on the left-hand side, you could bring Luke Shaw back into a three, which you would kind of be wasting his wing-back skills. So I think he would be the wing-back on the left-hand side. Or you could then say to Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Aaron, you're not very good going forward. You're not getting those kind of metrics in terms of assists, so we're going to turn you into one of those back three. I think that's more likely, certainly when you need maybe pace in those areas as well for coverage. It's a difficult one because, like, I know the fan base get on top of Fred and McTominay so much, but there's every chance that when Conte comes that he plays both of them still. They won't be playing in a double pivot in a kind of 4-2-3-1, but they would still be occupying central midfield areas, giving the ball to better players, because that's kind of what their role is. But I think in the immediacy, you know, the player that maybe could benefit, and we're not obviously seeing him play a lot of games as it stands, is Jadon Sancho. So if you played 3-4-3, you could see him playing as part of that three up top, being more of a facilitator. And then it's just depending. I think the player who might lose out, as I said before, is Bruno Fernandes. Because if Bruno's not part of that three at the top end, maybe Conte doesn't fancy him in that area, I don't think he plays, which would be a shock for obviously United fans and for a player who's been a hero for the past kind of 18 months. So there is lots to kind of work out if you bring Conte to the football club. He's a different kind of manager. But I do think that he will be able to formulate a set of tactics that get United winning football matches.
I just want to look at this, the 3-4-3 idea, because that was probably a bit more connected with his time at Chelsea. Rob, I do agree with you that the 3-5-2 was maybe born a bit more out of necessity in terms of the way that games in Serie A are dictated. But if he goes with a 3-4-3 and whoever those middle two are, a combination of Fred, McTominay, Pogba, Fernandes, if Fernandes does play or doesn't play, one of the big criticisms of United under Solskjaer is that the midfield two of Fred and McTominay constantly find themselves on the wrong side of the ball. They're either too conservative, so they concede possession and concede territory. If he goes with the 3-4-3 with Sancho, Ronaldo and Rashford or a variation of attacking players, they're not going to be dropping in and giving assistance, whether Bruno Fernandes is there or not. Will Conte trust just two players that under Solskjaer have consistently proven that they're not very comfortable unless they have an extra man in there when he's so new into the job and against some elite Premier League midfielders that if it goes wrong, could just tear them to bits?
I think it comes down to maybe how you link the team and how the shape is. So when you talk about the attack, when we talk about, say, Chelsea's 3-4-3 when he played it there, is that it was more a kind of 3-4-1-2 with a number 10. Now, that gives him options because that means you can put Bruno in there and that means you can link the midfield a little bit more tightly. So you can keep that a little bit more condensed and let the wing-backs go on. I think the issue we see with 4-2-3-1 is that United don't really keep their width fits very well. They get disconnected between the defence and the midfield, and then the midfield and the attack. So we see that happen all the time with Ole's team. And I think if you look at Conte's team, they are nice and compact. They know what they're doing. There's none of this kind of hero ball, like 20, 30, 40 yard passes through channels like we see with Ole's team, where it's a little bit more hit or miss. It's much more kind of cerebral. It's much more planned. It's like something you've seen on a tactics pitch before a game. And I think that Fred and McTominay can do that. You know, so I don't think they're the most fashionable players, but I think the best teams always have functional players that can do that job. You know, when you look at Ferguson's team, you had John O'Shea, he wasn't the greatest player in the world, but he was functional. Darren Fletcher was functional. Jason Park was functional. These are players that you can put in different parts of the pitch who might not be world beaters, but can certainly help the world beaters in your team.
Looking at some of the names that could potentially be included in those positions, James, you mentioned this idea of a back three. Would it be Victor Lindelof? Will he be played there? You can kind of make some sort of guesstimates of who will be in these teams. Harry Maguire is club captain. He's going to continue playing. Rafa Varane has come in, multiple Champions League winner, the big name defensive summer signing. Rob's flagged up Aaron Wan-Bissaka potentially tucking in. If he does, that possibly means the end of Victor Lindelof at Manchester United. Eric Bailly gets pushed down the list. Who then comes in on the right-hand side? Because if you have Shaw on one side, potentially even Alex Telles, if Luke Shaw plays in a back three, who plays wide on the right-hand side if Wan-Bissaka tucks in?
I mean, that's the issue. I mean, Telles, when he has played for United this season, has looked really weak. I mean, going forward, he's looked good. Against Villarreal, I thought he was okay, but it's that defending. He was just caught pretty much every single time they had the ball. He was out of position. He was just a bit of a liability, to be honest. So I think that's maybe somewhere in January that United are going to have to invest in. I mean, Maguire this season hasn't been as good as he has been before at United, but I don't think politically you can leave him out of the squad because, you know, he's one of the most expensive players United have signed recently, so he has to play. Lindelof, again, like you were saying, I mean, he's just not that good when it comes to winning headers. And I think if the Premier League and if sides are going to play against a Conte system, they're going to be putting crosses in, they're going to be trying to swing corners in. And I think the issue is with Lindelof, he's fine when it comes to just about winning tackles and playing the ball out of the back, but in a back three that's going to be quite physical, you can't really afford to do that. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with Lindelof. I can't really see him sticking around that long. And it was a shame because I think under Mourinho, I mean, I remember his first season, he was probably one of United's better players. And the same goes for Bailly, actually. They both had good first seasons, but they've just kind of gone downhill since. I mean, Bailly is really a liability. He gets injured too much. The same goes for Phil Jones, who I don't think he's going to be at the club much longer. He might get a couple of games here and there just to maybe try him out. But I think Jones has had way too many opportunities. I mean, he came back. Solskjaer gave him a chance against Sheffield United 2 seasons ago, I think it was, and he was just completely not at the same standard as all the other players. So I think those two players are sort of up there with Rojo in terms of players that have been at the club. I mean, Rojo's gone now, but those sort of players that are going to leave, that should have left a while ago. So I don't think they're going to be there. But like you were saying, I mean, Lindelof, I always get nervous when I see him at United, whenever he's playing, because he's just always waiting to do something wrong. And I think that maybe that's a bit harsh on him, but I think United's defence this season, and like we were talking about earlier, because of Solskjaer, it just looks so shaky. It's always looked like whenever there's been an away team coming forward at Old Trafford or catching United on the counter-attack, you know, I think Conte would probably make that better and United wouldn't concede as many goals because of the system that he plays. And I think that's kind of what United needs to do at the minute, because going forward, they're fine. They've got great players going forward. Greenwood, Ronaldo, like we touched on earlier, but the defence in the midfield is so shaky that United can't keep on relying on their attacking players to bail them out every game.
I think in fairness to Conte, I don't think anyone could give Phil Jones's United career the kiss of life. I think that's done and dusted, whoever comes in. Before we wrap up, we're just going to do a bit of fantasy football, Rob. I'm going to throw this over
to you. What about his testimonial?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think that'll be probably the last time we see him playing for United. Rob, if Antonio Conte does come in, we're expecting a variation, 3-4-3, 3-5-2, 3-4-1-2, something like that. What do you see from 1 to 11, Antonio Conte's Manchester United looking like?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here. Right, well, okay, this would be my Conte 11. So I think and this will have a little bit of maybe forward thinking in it as well. So I think it would be De Gea, and I think the back three would be Maguire, Varane and Wan-Bissaka. I don't think Wan-Bissaka can play as a right-sided wing back. That's not really his thing. It wouldn't really work. going into the midfield, I think the two central midfielder positions would be up for grabs. As I said, McFred are quite possibly going to be the guys that get the first nod. I think you'll see Luke Shaw playing on the left side of that as a progressive wing back. And then on the right side, and a little bit of fancy football, I would put Ethan Laird. Ethan Laird's ripping it up at Swansea. He's a forward-thinking fullback. He can play that wing-back system. I would rather see him given minutes rather than Diogo Dalo. And then up top, I think it's very interesting because, you know, maybe day one, it would be Cavani. It would well be Ronaldo. They'd be part of those two. And you'd maybe have to shoehorn Rashford in there somewhere. But I would really want to see a team over a year or two built around the talents at top of Jadon Sancho and Mason Greenwood. These are your worldie talents. These are your future superstars. This is where the team needs to go in years to come. How Conte kind of makes that work in the short term is a difficult one. But he has got more than enough talent in that squad to put out 11 players playing 3-4-3. And this squad is better than the Chelsea squad that won the title under him in that first season at Stamford Bridge. One thing I will just add, I do think actually that Conte does leave football clubs in better positions than when he was actually there. When you see what happened at Chelsea and what happened at Inter, the squads are much, much more healthier now for him being up there for formulating those teams. And I think that he would do that with United. He's got a good squad. He'd have to buy some players, of course, over a year or two or three. But I think he would win trophies in a way that maybe now Ole has proved that he's not going to win trophies.
James, I'm going to throw it across to you. Obviously, Ethan Laird's a little bit of a wild card shout, but there's a lot of heads in that team that you would imagine would fit or be conducive to an Antonio Conte side. So give us your 11. If Antonio Conte walks through the door at Old Trafford, who is he going with on his first game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd love Laird to play as well. It kind of reminds me a bit when United had an injury crisis under Van Gaal, and it was almost like any academy player that was available almost got a game. You're both with Jacksons, you're Paddy McNairs, you're Tyler Blacketts of the world. I think the slight issue that I have with Laird is that, you know, United at the minute needs to get results, and sticking someone like that in, who I'm sure is doing great at Swansea, who's inexperienced in that position, I just think it's the wrong time. If United were maybe a few points clear and there was a bit less pressure, then maybe you could do it, but I think, to be honest, the issue is, I mean, Dalo this season hasn't been as good as he has been before. And defensively, he isn't good enough. But going forward in that full-back position, he's better than Wan-Bissaka. We saw, I mean, he scored for United the other week. Wan-Bissaka has scored for United before, but he's just a totally different player to Dalo. I mean, Dalot's more of an attacking fullback, whereas Wan-Bissaka tends to sit in and he's a bit more defensive. And that's fine under a system like Solskjaer because he's got other players that will win the ball back for him and will take it forward. But when you play under a Conte system, that doesn't happen. So I think Wan-Bissaka, like we were saying earlier, might be a player that will struggle to adapt to this system. So I'm going to say Dalot on that sort of attacking fullback, and then probably going to say at the minute with the players that he has, Maguire, Lindelof. And actually, if he's fit, I might stick Eric Bailly in there, actually, just because he's something different, maybe. He doesn't offer, you know, compared to what other players do, he's a bit more physical. When he's at his best, actually, especially under Mourinho, he was a good player. So I'm going to stick him there instead. And on the left-hand side, probably going to go with Shaw. And then midfield-wise, probably McTominay. And Fred again, just because I think that's United's most reliable midfield pairing. We've seen with Van de Beek this season, in my opinion, when he has played, he's not really been good enough. And then you're getting towards the attacking system as well. And I'm probably going to say, like you were saying, Cavani and Ronaldo up top, and then maybe Jadon Sancho on that left-hand side.
Rob, I'm going to pass this over to you as a bit of a final word, because there's one player who's not featured in either of your 11s and he hasn't even been mentioned in the whole of the podcast. So I'm going to give this to you because I'm fascinated to see what happens with him in the next 6 months. Paul Pogba, he's not been in either of your 11s. Is he going to be in Antonio Conte's 11? Does Paul Pogba have a future at Manchester United if Antonio Conte is the manager?
Well, yes. You know, we did a show the other day on Conte and Pogba, and people forget that Antonio Conte was the guy that bought Paul Pogba for Juventus. He was the guy that gave Paul Pogba his big chance. He put him on the left-hand side of his midfield and pushed him forward and developed him. So he was his first coach, really, in that sense. So the first guy to really believe in Pogba. I think it's more of a case of whether Paul Pogba now wants to stay at United. So I think if you bring Conte to the club, and there is a connection between Conte and Pogba that has every chance he would sign a new deal. You know, everyone kind of, I think, leans towards the Zidane factor that Pogba would stay if Zidane came to the club, but he has a good relationship with Conte. In terms of the 3-4-3, there's every chance that you could play Pogba on the left-hand side of that midfield, or of course you could play him in central midfield. And as I said, you could then also play Luke Shaw further back in defence. It would be a slightly different shape, trying to find obviously ways into an attacking side to actually score goals. But I think the thing with Pogba is there's just so much uncertainty about him, about whether he will remain at the football club. You know, I didn't even put Bruno Fernandes in my team a minute ago, because I do think that these big archetypal type players might suffer in a Conte system, because Conte will pick the right team. He won't pick teams based around superstars. I actually quite like that. I think it's more important that you develop the right talent. I would like to see Pogba remain at the football club. I would like to see him as part of that midfield. I'm not quite sure 3-4-3 suits him.
Yeah, possibly. Well, we will have to wait and see. Obviously, as it stands, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is still Manchester United manager, but we do believe that the clock is ticking on Ole. Antonio Conte, as it stands, is the red-hot favourite to take over when and if Manchester United do make the move to replace Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That's it for this week's edition of the Squawker Talker podcast. Rob, James, thanks so much for your time.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Great stuff, guys. Next week, we are chatting with Newcastle United correspondent from The Athletic, Chris Waugh. He's going to be giving us the lowdown at St. James's Park and what their plans for world, or at least Premier League, domination are in the coming months. Don't forget to check out that episode. And if you click subscribe on this one, you can get a brand new show as soon as it is ready. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again very, very soon.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.